This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Heard your sports minute there talking about the NFLPA grades, which has become a thing the last couple of years. They have put this out there in detail, and they do it during a time of year where it's going to be talked about because there's not as much going on, and there's some teams that do really well. So this just isn't just a hammer time on organizations. There are players on teams that really like their organizations, but you always talk about it, the Bermuda Triangle of the NFL in which you played. Cincinnati Bengals, New York Jets, Arizona Cardinals. And these three teams, once again, in 2025, did not fare well amongst the current players in this poll.
Now, I did not play for this ownership here. I played for Leon Hess, who was a very nice man, and I really did respect him and liked him. And he taught my dad, he took care of my dad, let's put it that way. He treated him great because they were both World War II veterans, and I had nothing but a good time and appreciated the ownership here, especially after I left Cincinnati. You know, it was interesting. I sent this thing out to a couple of ex-teammates of mine for the Bengals. The Bengals had one of the worst practice facilities ever in known to mankind. I mean, it was in the lower, I want to say, west side of Cincinnati. It was called Spinney Field. Right to the north of us was the city treatment plant, the poop plant.
Oh, yeah.
Right across the street from us was a galvanizing plant, you know, those old orange metal barrels that they used to use in traffic. Now they use plastic ones.
Sure.
They would galvanize that, and then right down the road was a mattress manufacturing plant. Behind us was a thing called the Mill Creek, and the Mill Creek emptied out into the Ohio River, and that thing was polluted back in the day. And I remember we used to go out in the practice field, and you can taste the metal in the air. And you could smell the poop coming down if you had a northerly wind. And I remember we all would look at Kenny Anderson and say, you know, as long as he lives, that's how long we're going to live. Because he was there the longest.
Yeah.
And Kenny's still living to this day, so it's a very good thing. But anybody who ever played back in the 80s for the Bengals or even the Dolphins had a horrendous facility down there. Because I remember when we went down there for the Super Bowl, we used their facility for... Mm-hmm. Now, the Dolphins had the great weather.
And, yeah, players would want to go there because
we were in it. When I first got to Cincinnati, and I told Peter King this because he was the guy that picked us up at the airport, I got to Spinney Field. I said, man, is this a dog kennel? I mean, that's what I thought it was. I thought it was a dog kennel, like, you know, like where they would bring, you know, like, you know, all the dogs that nobody wanted. And our lockers were chain-link fences. And I've often told you about the Great Chicken Massacre in Cincinnati,
yes,
where the players had to go out and go get lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd always a rookie would always have to go get the Popeye's chicken for the team.
Yeah.
And that was a mess, and he got into an accident, got hit by a drunk driver like at 11 o'clock in the morning coming from one of these overnight factories that we were practicing around. So, like, I don't really feel sorry for a lot of these players, especially when I go to that jet facility over there.
Well, they don't know what it was like, you know.
They have no idea. And plus, you know, they're all, you know, they're averaging about, you know, I would imagine the average player is making a minimum $10 million in his career. Mm. Minimum. I think Phil Simms made less than $7 million in his career, maybe even less than that. I mean, just to give you a perspective.
Yeah.
And but all I know is that when I got traded to the Jets, Hofstra was like Shangri-La. I mean, I felt like I died and went to heaven. That's how nice Hofstra was compared to what the Bengals had. And then, you know, when I went out to Arizona, that was even better because that was brand new and it was beautiful weather.
So basically, so helped. You look at this stuff and say, you don't know what an F is.
You have no idea.
You don't know what a D minus is.
And you could ask any one of my teammates, man. But I'll tell you what, it was our place. It was a very special, weird place, but it was our place. You know, and I see the strength coaches, you know, we used to lift anvils. And we had Nautilus when I got there. And the weight room was about as big as this studio is here.
And CBS Sports Network has the Jets report card up there. Of course, the biggest one that pops off the page is ownership, F, Woody Johnson. And then the term culture of fear was used by some players, which, I mean, is that fear of being cut? Is that fear of being yelled at? I mean, I'm not sure exactly what that is. Maybe probably just with the firings of Sala and Douglas during the season, it was like, hey, you could be next. You could be the one out of here. And also the treatment of the families. They got a C-, which is going to piss some people off, too.
No, Bob Kraft did not fare well. The New England Patriots did not fare well, but the New England Patriots have won Super Bowls. The Atlanta Falcons, on the other end, fared well in every aspect of their organization, and yet they have won nothing.
Yeah.
So I think it really has to do with you know, each individual player and their own experience dealing with whatever they're dealing with at the time, especially when the survey gets in front of them.
Yeah.
So if the team
does it get in front of them, do you know?
I'm sure it gets in front of them towards the end of the season.
Okay.
Like I would say, you know, so if your team is having a bad year, you're having a bad year, you're not happy, the media is all over you. And you remember the reports about, you know, Brick Johnson running the team and the Madden thing and all of that crap that was going on here and the Aaron Rodgers fiasco. And
plus I think the players liked Rob Saleh and they liked Joe Douglas. And I think when those guys got fired,
right, exactly. So now you could see why and this is also maybe one of the reasons why Woody Johnson said at the press conference introducing both Aaron Glenn and Darren Bucci that he wanted to be a better owner.
Mm.
I don't know what exactly that means. I don't know how he sees himself. But again, like I told you yesterday, at the moment that Brick Johnson started getting into the media and Aaron Rodgers making a joke about it, see ya, goodbye, everybody's gone. And then Woody basically said that, you know, that he wasn't involved in whether or not Aaron was going to be coming back and all that other stuff publicly. I think that's, I think that was a fib.
Mm. Yeah, so the Jets 29th overall out of 32 teams, the Giants 20th out of 32 teams, although Brian Daboll got a really good rating, a B-plus for a team and a coach that has not won a lot the last couple of years. So,
Where did they fail? They had a C-minus on their locker room.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what do these guys want? I mean, they don't want the Four Seasons? They already have the Four Seasons. I mean, I go over to that Jet facility. I mean, Woody Johnson spared no expense at that facility.
Yeah, but are they talking about the locker room at MetLife? Or are they talking about the locker room?
I mean, look at that Jet facility. Is that remarkable?
Oh, yeah. We go there every year and we comment on how nice it is.
The fields are ridiculous. The strength and training is ridiculous. They have the food preparation group over there. I mean, the chef, the food and everything. It's top notch. I don't know if you can get it any better. I guess maybe Minnesota has it better. Atlanta has it better.
Yeah, in the Jets locker room, they said D-plus training room. See, I'm sure that probably has
something.
The training room has got to be Florham Park. That's got to be Florham Park.
100%. They're talking about the facilities where the Jets are every day. They're only at the stadium once.
Yeah.
I mean, what was interesting, they didn't rank the stadiums.
They did not.
But I don't know why that's not in there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that MetLife Stadium would not be close to the top if we were ranking things from best to worst.
Right, and you'd probably get both teams, because two teams play in there. So both would probably give it negative vibes. And maybe they'll, I don't know what their locker rooms are in that building. I'm assuming they're okay.
Yeah, who ended up first in this thing? I know the Vikings were second. Who ended up first?
Probably the Falcons. The Falcons, I think it the
was
Dolphins.
Yeah, I think it was Dolphins-Vikings.
Dolphins-Vikings.
Okay, Miami.
And Atlanta's up there.
Yeah, look at the Dolphins, man. They got A's across the board. A's. There wasn't a single B, man.
And how many playoff wins do they have?
Zippo.
Good. You know, Paul Brown, the great Paul Brown, when I was in Cincinnati, I think he wanted it to be bare bones for a reason. He wanted the players to have an edge to them.
Hey, man.
He didn't want to make it too soft for the players. And I think that's the way he thought about it from a football person's or a football coach's perspective.
Remember training camp, we had Ty Conklin on, and he was with the Minnesota Vikings. And I asked him, I said, that new facility there, these players rave about it, always gets the number one facility. Is it too nice? And he said, you know what? There is something to be said about that.
Yes.
And I think he's like, it might be too nice.
That's why in the early 80s and 70s, when the Bengals were would go to summer practice, we'd go to Wilmington, Ohio, and there would be no air conditioning in the dorm rooms. And it would be 8x10 dorm rooms with little beds until I finally took over as a starter. And then I brought in beds for the offensive linemen and air conditioners.
Yeah, they still go to dorm rooms with the Steelers.
They couldn't get me, Al. They couldn't get me.
They still do that with the Steelers. They go to St. Vincent College and still do dorm rooms. I think they're the only team left that's still doing actual college dorm rooms with their players.
I mean, there's something to be said about that. What, do they go for about 3 weeks?
Yeah.
But they don't even have two-a-days anymore. You know, that's not a thing anymore.
Yeah, after the new CBA, right? There's no such thing.
There's no such thing, and they can't hit in practice, and they got to be careful. And these are all things that don't cost the team any money, by the way. So we'll give you whatever you want. You want to practice one day a week? Fine, just as long as you don't take more money from us.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals, just terrible grades here. I mean, they were dead last, the Cardinals.
Well, their facility is probably, I don't know if they've upgraded anything to that facility. When I was there, it was almost, I think it was probably about 5 or 6 years old.
I didn't even know there was a thing as an F-, and they got that with their locker room. An F-.
Yeah, so they probably have not upgraded their locker room. Because it was a good locker room when I was there, but it doesn't compare to other players that probably come in, say, from the Vikings, or from
Atlanta
or L.A. Rams. You know, these players move around a lot.
Yeah.
So they are exposed to a number of different locker rooms, and I'm sure that locker room has not been upgraded.
Well, they like their head coach out there. That's the only thing they like. Head coach Jonathan Gannon got an A. Everything else was horrendous.
I don't remember them having a food service.
So they have food dining area D-.
D-, yeah, okay.
And nutritionist and dietitian B.
Do you have the Vikings there?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, mm-hmm. So give me their grades, since they seem to be the apple of everyone's eye.
Well, they ended up being second to the Miami Dolphins. Treatment of families, A+. Food dining area, A-. Nutritionist dietitian, B+. Locker room, A+. Training room, A-. Training staff, A. Weight room, A-. Strength coaches, A. Team travel, A. Head coach, A+. Ownership, A+.
You know, it's amazing. Sydney told me that, I'm only saying this because it's a positive story, said that the Islanders treat the families like gold.
Oh.
And they have whatever they need for the kids. They take care of the kids. They bend over backwards to make sure the access is right for the families and the safety is right for the families. And she couldn't have been any happier, and really spoke very highly of John Ledecky in that regard.
Oh, that's a big deal for these players, as you know. Juan now Soto wanted that box for his family. Need that box for the family.
We're paying you $765 million. You can't buy the box yourself.
Get that box. Throw that in there. Hey, could you give me the box? Let's just throw the box on top of it. Can you? I mean, I know you got all this money and the signing bonus and everything. Just get this deal done. Let's have the box.
I think the Bengals would have laughed at me if I would have said, give me a box.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, of course. They'll laugh at you today if you say, give me a box.
I remember having to buy the box my last couple years.
In Cincinnati?
Yeah. My last year, yeah, definitely.
I mean, that's pretty bad. You had to buy the box?
Yeah, but I wasn't, like, you know, they weren't as nearly expensive as they are today. I mean.
But still.
And that was at old Riverfront Stadium.
They don't have a box they could give you and your family? But one game?
No.
That's
well, it's more than one game.
Oh, you're telling me you bought it for the season?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you meant that there was, like, one game that you bought to have the family there or something. Like, if Joe
you know, Burrow, you know what? I didn't start when I first got there, so I don't necessarily know that I had it for the entire season. I might have only had it for a couple home games that I ended up playing towards the end of the year.
Right.
That's what I think.
Let's say in 2025, Joe Burrow goes up to Mike Brown, says, I want a box, one home game for my entire family. Is he making them pay for it?
The Mike Brown that I know, yes. Wow. whether or not that's changed or not with Katie, wow, his daughter, who's really running the team now. Yeah. I don't know if that's changed, because I know Katie's daughters have gotten very involved in doing the, doing all the different things that most teams normally do.
Yeah.
Like having a Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
That's taken over, like, since those girls got back involved.
Yeah. Which is great.
Which is updating the franchise and bringing it into, you know, this century.
Let's see how they did with everything. I know it wasn't great, but I'll go run them through you.
Their practice facility probably got a negative number.
All right, well.
Or negative grade.
Treatment of families. This is the Cincinnati Bengals. Treatment of families, F minus. Food dining area, F. Nutritionist, dietitian, C. Locker room, A plus.
Yeah, they got a great locker room, that's for sure.
Training room, B plus. Training staff, A minus. Weight room, B. Strength coaches, A minus. Team travel, A minus. Head coach A, ownership C.
Yeah, that's about right.
So
I mean, the family thing is huge. And I don't, again.
They're the worst in the league, by the way, 32nd.
But, you know, when you think about this, though,
mm-hmm,
you have 65 guys on a team. And let's say 40 of them, well, everybody has a family, but I don't know if it's a, you know, kids are involved or not, but moms are usually involved, aunts are involved, uncles are involved. I mean, like, is every player expect, like, the team to take care of 20 people every time they come to a game?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I mean, what are the expectations of the players when it comes to their family? It should be immediate family only,
I guess. I mean, but one team's getting A pluses and one team's getting F minuses, so there is something that these owners do to make players happy.
Well, it's like I told you, the owners have a family area for the families and for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And Sparky's down there, and, you know, there's a lot of little stuff for the kids to do and the moms to relax in between periods and things of that nature. And I think that's one of the reasons, I think that's why they all like it.
So at the announcement of the Nth Fla team name, when Peter Schwartz announced the Dragons at the, Oyster Bay Recreation Center.
Yes.
The Islanders loaned out Sparky for the announcement. And I wonder, did they have to pay for Sparky, or did the Islanders do that out of the goodness of their heart? And is Sparky on a salary? Is Sparky a full-time Sparky, or is he an independent contractor? And they're like, listen, Sparky, this is in season too, by the way. Sparky, you got to go out to Oyster Bay and do this thing. Is that an extra little something on top for Sparky?
You know what I think that is? That's a good broad-based community outreach by the Islanders and doing right by Peter Schwartz.
Who's going to that?
So you're telling me Sparky did that for free? Or the Islanders paid for Sparky to do that?
I that's a good question. I would say that Sparky's probably on some sort of retainer. So I would think that he has certain appearances he has to make.
Yeah. Okay.
And this would be one of these community-based appearances due in large part to Peter Schwartz's relationship with the Islanders.
That makes sense. That is very true. So they're making hires, by the way, and he's putting out pictures of all their hires. So they've hired some social media interns and some sales interns, a communications intern, media relations intern, so he is wheeling and dealing, man.
They're all interns.
That's what it says, yeah. So far, okay. I mean, there's going to be a head coach.
Are they paying interns, or is this all free?
I don't know. I know that we have to pay our summer interns now, which is not something that happened back in the day.
I mean, Peter might be working for free.
Could be working for gift cards.
I mean, that's just not. I think he's getting a salary, guys. I mean, I think.
Pretty sure. Like a Chili's gift card.
Guess we'll find out if we offer him a shift the day of his opener and see which one he takes.
Yes. Well, by the way, when is the opener?
June 10th or 11th or something?
Yeah, it's June. It's funny. The other day, a guy goes up to me and goes, man, you know, that's pretty cool for Peter Schwartz. So does he have to leave WFAN to do this? And I'm like, he's not a full-time employee. He has like four shifts a month here. He doesn't have to leave anything.
Yeah, that's true. But he also does the other network, right?
Infinity Sports Network?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got three tabs open here.
Okay.
I've got the NFLPA team report cards.
Yes.
I've got the Cognizant Classic in Palm Beach.
Yep.
And I've got the Epstein list release update. Those are the three things I'm paying attention to, right?
Mm-hmm. Man, buckle up, Buttercup. When that thing comes out, did they release it already, or when are they releasing
it? No, there hasn't been anything yet, but I'm just, there's a page here that I'm refreshing. You know, just like the Cognizant Classic. You know? See how Speed's doing, see what's going on with the list.
Right.
This is what's going on this morning. You don't get a lot of live action during 6 to 10, as we've talked about before, so I got some live action today,
both
in the world of sports and elsewhere.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
You know, you need to redo your team for this Cognizant Open down there in Florida. I mean, Jerry, you know, he always puts a team together on FanDuel. And so he has Daniel Berger on his team. And they're teeing off down there at the Palm Beaches.
Nice. Right? Yeah.
And Daniel Berger on his first tee shot
drives it out of bounds.
That sucks.
And has to be driven back to the tee box
hit three?
Yeah, so. by the official, yes. He's on Gio's golf team for this week.
It just was funny because I was like, oh, you know, let me stream this, see what's going on in the break. And then it pops up. There's the guy that I picked, the most expensive guy. He's holding his driver up in the air, and he's being driven in a golf cart back to the tee because he couldn't find his ball because it landed in a palm tree.
Tough start.
Oh, tough start.
Man, that is no way to start a tournament.
Definitely.
And that guy's pretty good, man.
Yeah, no, he's very good. He's playing great this year. But, hey, what are you going to do?
I mean, you come off the driving range, and you're over there. I'm sure he's pounded about 50 or 60 drives, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this isn't the Masters, for God's sakes. You know, yeah, but there's nobody around. He's got a 7:15 tee time. Relax. You know, let's do it.
What a great time to follow a golfer, too. Like, if you're into that.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Just on a Thursday morning at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
All right, Jerry, what's happening over there, man?
All right, so a couple of things from the combine, then I'll get to the basketball this hour. We talked about Abdul Carter last hour, stress reaction in his right foot. Not sure if he'll have surgery or not. He is the, I guess, projected number one pick in the draft, unless someone takes Cam Ward, we shall see. You have the whole thing with Aaron Rodgers, PFT reporting that he has reached out to the Giants about possible interest. Who knows? You've got the Giants interested in Matthew Stafford. Some other things around the league. We heard from Broncos GM George Patton. He was with the media yesterday. They were talking about potentially drafting a running back in the April draft, and this is his way of describing that, I suppose.
We have some backs that we like, and so it's going to be an interesting process. Already has been, just to these runners. I know we're searching for the Joker. It's kind of like the Loch Ness Monster, trying to find a goddamn Joker.
God dang.
Yeah, it was a little odd, but okay, understand. And then, so that was a little weird. Then I get you to Ben Johnson. So he sat down with Pro Football Talk. Now, he used to coach Jared Goff, so I imagine he's just joking around with him here. But this seemed unnecessary. They were talking about Penei Sewell and a play he might have thrown the ball one time, whatever. And here was Ben Johnson talking about the play and then his little dig.
The best part of that was he threw a dime every single time in practice. We probably took that for 3 weeks, and it was a dime. It was better than some other people.
Right.
Jared Goff. He's pretty darn good throwing on the move.
That seems kind of odd, right? I know he's probably joking with him.
Yeah, he's busting his balls.
He and Jared Goff have a great relationship.
Very tight. Yes. That's what I kind of assumed, but I still thought that was kind of odd.
Funny because you didn't hear a damn thing from Ben Johnson, who's the offensive coordinator. And he used to speak once a week on Thursdays. He never said anything, never made any noise. You never heard anything from him. Becomes the head coach of the Bears. Social media. He's joking around. He's out there. It's like, hey, look at this. I made it. And I'm getting paid $12 million a year.
You know what? But don't disrespect the Jet coaching staff.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Don't you disrespect them.
Sorry, I wasn't trying to do that.
Okay.
There are other coaches
there other than Ben Johnson. Oh, yeah, you know that.
Because he gets all the air quotes credit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly. And then also on Pro Football Talk was Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel. It started with them asking him about his style.
What went into the whole growing the hair out and going with this style?
What makes anyone change their haircut? I've always been like a haircut change guy.
This dude's got a lot of noises, if you ever notice when he speaks. In terms of some serious stuff, Tyreek Hill obviously was a topic and a theme with the way things ended. He had some comments we know about wanting to leave with free agency and all that. Sounds like he's made good, though, with the club.
Ultimately, as is every relationship, if you can work at something and you go through things together, it all ultimately makes it stronger. I think his relationship with his teammates, I think that was kind of, you know, his motivation of clarifying his actions that, if you're trying to win, you know, you can't, do that to your teammates.
Right. So that's still a work in progress.
Thanks,
as
coach.
You can imagine. Yes, exactly.
Clearing that up.
And Mickey Loomis did indicate that they are moving forward with Derek Carr as their starting quarterback in New Orleans. Now time for What Is Mad Dog Talking About? Let's play the game. What is Mad Dog? So I'm going to play a clip for you. You can tell me what you think he's describing here. This is a Chris Mad Dog Russo on the Jimmy Traina podcast.
Forget the sex. I can live with the sex.
What do you think Chris Russo is talking about?
Forget the sex. I can live with the sex.
Like this is what's going on over there at XM? Seriously?
No, this is on the Jimmy Traina podcast.
Forget the sex.
I can deal with the sex.
It's got to be the sex of a baby?
Forget the sex. Forget the sex. I can live with the sex.
Like it's a grandkid, it's maybe?
Not that.
It has something to do with somebody off the field, right? Maybe he's talking about a player off the field?
He is not. He is actually talking about a movie.
Oh.
With Jimmy Traina.
Forget the sex. Forget the sex. I can live with the sex. But the language. Can you do a movie where you not say that famous word?
The famous word.
Hey, listen, you want to be banging all over the place in these movies? That's fine. You want to show your boobies? You want to go full frontal with a penis? That's fine. You want to throw a woman up against a wall and violate? I'm fine with that. But the second you use the F word, I'm out. Can we make a movie without the F word? For God's sakes.
What movie is it he's talking
Anora,
about?
Anora, I think he said. I think that was it. It's in the clip, but the clip's longest, so I stopped it. I think that's what it's called. Anybody familiar with that movie?
No idea.
No, I don't know. So anyway, that was that. Was that. Coming up so next hour, I will have for you a clip of Adam Schein talking about this place.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We'll go back in the anals, as we say, as Chris says. Yes. So that'll be coming up next hour. He was also on a podcast. All right, let's get to your Red Storm. Last night, a big win on the road.
Near side, no good. Rebound. Off to the races. Here comes Kadari. Ahead to Lewis, who jams it in with two hands. R.J. Lewis takes the delivery, and it's 64-59.
Listen to that. 70 is the new 50 for the Mink.
The hottest exotic entertainers from around the world.
You know what? The thing about him is that he's seeing winning basketball, and that's actually jacking him up.
Yes, and a lot of it. That call I played the other day was about as energetic as I have heard him since I've known him.
You know, it's Viagra to him.
I think he's calling these games with a Woody.
I think he's got one now because they're winning and they're ranked seventh. Why not?
Oh, excuse me. I don't know what happened here.
Got wood.
Sorry.
Got wood.
Here was Rick Pitino. So we mentioned last hour how St. John's has clinched at least a share of their first Big East regular season title in 33 years. So that game was on CBS Sports Network. And so John Rothstein did the post-game interview on the court with Pitino afterwards.
We are not interested in sharing. Although I love Creighton and I love their coach, we are not interested in sharing anything. I'll share other things in my life, not the championship.
So he would like to win it outright, and I'm sure they will, as they have just been fabulous, as you know, now 25-4. On the season, Kadari Richmond, a big game, and R.J. Lewis did finish with 24. Coming up tonight on The Fan at 9 p.m., Rutgers on the road at number 15, Michigan. We will have the pregame for you at 8:45. Number 8, Michigan State, with an opportunity to, well, could have lost. Maryland has the ball with the game tied at 55, final seconds. You get a miss and then a win. This is how it sounded on Big Ten Network. Big Ten Network with the call there. 58-55 on what was between 55 feet and 60 feet of a buzzer beater from Trey Holloway. Here was Maryland head coach Kevin Willard. That's a crazy ending.
You got to take the last shot there. And I think Kobe, we had fought so hard to come back. Got a great rebound, got the push. And then, you know, that's just a tough way to lose a game.
Now, yes. The problem is two of our best players, Gillespie and Queen, did not have great games offensively.
No.
I mean, in Michigan State, what are they always known for? They're known for their cell block defense. Man, they lock it down, man. And those two guys really struggled in this game.
It's amazing, too. Holloman couldn't make a shot, and he makes that.
Yes.
At the end. Crazy. Knicks took on the Sixers last night. Early, it was the Mikal Bridges show. Late, it was Jalen Brunson.
Brunson the drive. Gets inside. A slight hesitation, and we're tied again with under 2 minutes to play.
And that was Mike Breen on MSG, game-tying layup. He would have the go-ahead three-pointer. He would score 10 of the Knicks' final 12 points. Knicks win 110-105, 34 for Brunson. So were you trying to score and take over the game?
Not really. Just focusing on the next play, and whatever I see is what we're gonna try to attack. And so I'm not going in saying I'm going to score. I'm just going to say I'm going to be aggressive to make the right play and go from there.
Now, part of his night, I think it was 14 or 15 of 16 from the free throw line. Is it up there? Anyway, he made almost every free throw, but he shot a lot of them. Nick Nurse, not thrilled with that.
And then our other goal is to not foul him. And I think yeah, we bumped him a little bit here and there. But, I thought 16 was quite a few tonight.
A lot of free throws for sure. But, again, he made them. Mikal Bridges, I mentioned the hot start. How about 19 points in the first quarter? Reminiscent to Christmas Day, if you remember, when he went off in the first quarter as well. Philly in a bad way. They've lost 9 in a row. Meantime, the Nets fell to the Thunder 129 to 121. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 27. Jalen Williams with 22. Oklahoma City outscored them 39-25 in the fourth. Pistons beat the Celtics 117-97. Cade Cunningham had 21 points and 11 assists. And you were right, it's 8 straight wins for Detroit. It was 8. And then finally, a late game for the Devils, and, well, not a good one.
Makar with it. He's inside the blue line. Now he hands it off. Save. Made the rebound. They score. Natchez with the bomb. Allen with the save. He couldn't find it. And the net was open, and it's 2-0.
And that was Matt Lachlan on Devils Radio. The Devils on the road out in Colorado fall 5-1. Nathan MacKinnon scored 2 power play goals on the night. The lone goal scorer for the Devils was Jack Hughes, I believe his 27th of the season, but it comes in defeat. Tonight you got the Islanders taking on the Bruins.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Got a couple of things I want to tell you about here, Boomer.
All right.
First of all, the sweatshirt I'm wearing today is from none other than our good friend Mikey Nichols, who started his own foundation.
Yes, he did.
So I know he reached out to you as well, and he's sending you some swag. So it's the Mikey Nichols Foundation. If you're not familiar, it started with Boomer and Craig, a young man in New Jersey, loved hockey, unfortunately suffered an injury that left him paralyzed from the waist down. He is working very, very hard to come back, and he's making amazing progress. When we first met him, really couldn't use his arms all that well either. He's now turning pages in books and really been an inspiration to a lot of people. You guys started the charity hockey game. We continued it for a few years afterwards, and Mikey's got his own foundation now. So push boundaries, break barriers on the front, the Mikey Nichols Foundation on the back. So we're rooting him on. And I'm sure you could find more information on that by just Googling Mikey Nichols and knowing about him. So that was pretty cool. And then also, remember the dog poop guy that called up, said he was going to clean up the dog poop
yes.
in my yard?
Yeah, said, no. He offered to come over and clean your scoop.
What, right,
and
I was like, I can't.
Or something? Yeah.
Yeah, duty calls.
Oh, duty calls. There you go.
So this guy's really putting on like a full court press here. This guy really wants to pick up my dog crap. So he sent a care package here. So okay. We got a duty calls little water bottle.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
We got a ball here, a little toy ball for one of the doggies. And we have some treats in here. Right? We got some treats.
Okay, good.
We got some treats. And we also have a little poop emoji. Little poop emoji thing here.
I think that should just sit right there.
Sit right there.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Little poop emoji. So yeah. So you could just sitting right on top of there. That was another little toy here that they could chew on. So, I don't know, maybe Al already want to take some of this home, too. We have too many toys in our house for these dogs. Oh, and look at this. Little Hershey Kisses with the Duty Calls logo on it.
Would you like
a Hershey Kiss?
No, I'm all right.
You sure?
No, I'm fine, yeah.
You don't want a little chocolate right now?
No, I'm good.
Well, I can see you slamming those Oreos later. I'll say, uh-huh.
No.
Why don't you want my Hershey Kisses?
No, I'm good. I'm all good.
You're not
by the way, you know, I know, and this is, I don't necessarily know that you're gonna ask Booty Call tomorrow. Duty Call, Booty Call, Duty Call to come over. But
that's a different service.
Yes, I know it's a different service. But the fact of the matter is that it was very nice for him to send that. I mean, yeah. that was great.
Putting on a full court press, this guy.
You know, I was also checking out Instagram and also X. I think it was 2 days ago, and I saw where Allie, who is putting a team together for my Fibro bike tour team.
Right. Allie, our makeup artist, yes. And also now part of the foundation.
Yes, and everybody in the foundation is required to put a team together.
Yep.
So she's put her team together, or putting her team together, and I saw she's having this huge fundraiser. When I opened up the fundraiser,
yeah,
I was like, wow, she's really doing a hell of a job.
Uh-huh.
And it's for Team Dallers. She's Team Dallers. And they're going to do it at
Farmingdale, I guess.
Right. And they're going to do it at the Nutty Irishman.
Oh, love the Nutty Irishman.
Saturday, March 29, 2 to 5 p.m. So it's about a month from now.
Yeah.
And I see way, way, way at the bottom, in the bottom right-hand corner.
Yeah.
Like I could just barely see it.
And the rest.
Right. Guest bartender Greg Giannotti.
Yeah.
It's way at the bottom.
It's very small font. So... I guess
you're not. I guess she doesn't consider you like a draw.
Apparently not. Although she asked me to do this.
Oh, I see.
She said it's not like I volunteered. You know, it is kind of funny. It's a little weird. I mean, she could do whatever she wants. And I'm going to be there supporting the foundation, raising money. Also have a guest bartender thing at the Portly Villager.
Yep.
And that's going to be at the end of April. And I know that they really promote the hell out of that. My name is everywhere.
Yes.
But she goes to me, are you available this weekend? I said, no, we're going to be in Disney that weekend. What about this weekend? I said, yeah, I could do it. And she goes, great. You could be the guest bartender. We'll get some listeners there, the whole thing. And she puts out the flyer, and it is microscopic.
Yeah, right down in the bottom right-hand corner.
I mean, you would think that if she's trying to get listeners of the show involved, it would be a little bit bigger.
You
got to
be a little bit more prominent.
So do I back out now?
No, I don't think you can back out. You made a commitment. You got to do it.
I might back out now.
What do you think about that, Al, as I showed it to you?
Yeah, it was a very tiny. So using the show Twitter's account, I just wrote, boy, Gio, really, it's in the small print. Yeah. And then Allie texted me, said, please don't start trouble.
Not too late.
It's too late now.
Yeah.
I mean, we're trying to promote her fundraiser, which is great. And she's doing it in her local town with the Nutty Irishman. And that's fantastic. And I love the get up and go that she is exhibiting. But yeah, I think, maybe highlighting Greg's involvement would be a little bit
more
substantial than
maybe
that.
Maybe put his face on it.
Yeah. So, they have this also music by Brian Luden. She's got that much bigger. And actually has like a business card there and everything. And
oh, look at that.
That's like right on top of
me. Is he big in Farmingdale?
I don't, apparently. I mean, bigger than me.
Bigger than you, right. Because you're and the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
you're below him.
I am, yes.
Actually, is there anyone that he's above?
No.
Are you above the address?
No.
He's at the lowest point in this flyer.
At the very end.
The lower right-hand corner.
Like, if you were putting these flyers up, it'd be where the staple would go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right in the middle.
Yeah, basically. I mean, in the font, I mean, she used a giant Boomer Esiason Foundation logo.
I love that. That's what she should be doing.
But then also the font on the Five Borough Bike Tour fundraiser.
Yes.
We can shrink that down.
I'm Boomer Esiason.
And the rest.
Shrink that down.
Yeah, you got shrunk down all right.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those things that people will show up to this and be like,
I didn't know you were here.
Yeah, what are you doing here? I'll be like, well, it was on
I saw the flyer, but the bottom was cut off.
The bottom had a staple in it.
Yeah.
Your name.
Somebody tore the bottom off with your name for a note.
It was up on a telephone pole. They couldn't see it.
Yeah. Not great. Well, I'm glad you guys have retweeted this and now brought some attention to it, which maybe we'll get some more people down there. Raise some more money.
It's like it should be some fun.
So that's what, March 29th it says? March 29th. And then on April 27th, starting at 3 p.m., that will be the Portly Villager
Villager, yeah.
Where we raise a lot of money for Team Boombas.
Lots of money.
So we, we'll do okay with Allie's thing, but the Portly thing, we got a lot of money. I come in with all the cash and I drop it on your desk.
Yeah, you don't think the Nutty Irishman's going to be able to compete, huh?
I mean, again, this is going to be the flyer,
Yes.
I just know that Sable, the two things we do really well is drink and fundraise. And it's very hard to top the Sayville drinking and fundraising. So you could try.
What do you think Allie was thinking when she put this together and she put your name at the bottom right here?
Not about Greg, obviously.
No, what she was thinking was she probably did the whole flyer and then was like, oh, damn, I forgot to put his name in there. Let me try to jam it in the corner.
I mean, it should have been like Five Borough Bike Tour fundraiser featuring Greg Giannotti.
Nah, I don't want all that fanfare. People are going to show up for her. She's the big deal in Farmingdale, not me.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, her name is on there. It's nice and big. They'll come out for Allie. She is the superstar, the celebrity in Farmingdale. I mean, Nassau County. I like Nassau County, but, I'm a Suffolk guy.
I'm surprised she didn't invite Peter Schwartz.
You know what? I'm inviting Peter Schwartz. Right now, I'm going to invite Peter Schwartz to this thing.
Well, he may be like in team meetings or something.
No. He's invited.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I'm inviting him, and he's going to drop that team meeting, and he's going to show up there, too. So not only do you get me, little tiny me in the corner, you get the general manager of the New York Dragons.
And I hope she redoes the flyer with that in big font.
Yeah.
Still you at the bottom.
Just a giant picture of Peter with his arms out and smiling and Sparky next to him. That would be awesome.
And Sparky.